Well, hallelujah. I really do feel as the Holy Spirit gave me a word for our youth ministry. And I think it's very important. And I actually believe that God wants to break some things free tonight. He wants to change some lives. So we're going to turn to 1 Kings chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, you can go there. In this chapter, we're talking about Rehoboam. And we're going to talk tonight about slaying. I love that word. It's one of my favorite words. Slaying the Rehoboam spirit. In the name of Jesus. This generation needs to be free from the spirit of Rehoboam. Amen? We're going to discover what that's all about. Like, I think so. I hope so. I don't know what it means. Yeah, that's why I'm going to preach tonight. Hallelujah. So 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse Chapter 12. No, don't switch to chapter 1. Chapter 12, verse 1. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. So it happened when Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard it. He was still in Egypt, for he had fled from the presence of King Solomon and been dwelling in Egypt, that they sent and called him. Then Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam. How many of y'all wish your name was Rehoboam? No takers, glory to God. Saying, your father made our yoke heavy. I don't know if he fed the chicken steroids or whatever, but he made their yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the burden some of the burden service of your father and his heavy yoke, which he put on us. I don't know why he's sticking yoke on people. That's weird. But and we will serve you. So he said to them, depart for 3 days, then come back to me. And the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived. And he said, how do you advise me to answer the people? Verse 7. And they spoke to him, saying, if you will be a servant to the people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. Verse 8. But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and stood before him. And he said to them, what advice do you give? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father put on us? Then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, thus you should speak to this people who have spoken to you, saying, your father has made your yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. That's what I once said. With things and stuff like that. Just imagine that, you know, really fat finger. I worked for a guy on a fishing site. They call them pickle fingers because it's, I'm not kidding, his fingers were literally twice as thick as mine. They're like this. Some guy should never go into proctology in Jesus' name. I did not say that out loud. Striking that from the record. Thus, you should speak to the people. Right, let's go back to the scripture. My little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, and I will chastise you with scourges. Some versions say scorpions. I take scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam in the third day, and the king directed, saying, as the king had directed, saying, come back to me on the third day. Then the king answered the people roughly, and he rejected the advice which the elders had given him. Say, uh-oh. Uh-oh. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the younger stupid men. I mean, the younger men saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, and I will chastise you with scourges. Scourges. Scorpions. So the king did not listen to the people, for the turn of events was from the Lord, that he might fulfill his word which he had spoken to the Shenanite, to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Now then, when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, what share have we in David? We have no inheritance with the son of Jesse. Your tents, O Israel, to your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own, O house of David. After this, we see the kingdom of Israel divide. And this is where the kingdom of Judah began, under the leadership, the not so wise leadership of Rehoboam. And really, it was the beginning of the massive downfall of the Israelites. They just basically fell into massive idolatry after this and moved not only through division, but also into total captivity. And you mostly know the rest of the story, but let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless your name. We thank you for your word. God, we thank you for, God, just your presence and the opportunity to be in your presence and to know one another in your love and in your great mercy. And God, I thank you for drawing us and calling us. God, I'm praying for breakthrough tonight. I'm praying for transformation, for complete deliverance from the Rehoboam spirit. God, I'm asking right now that you would slay the Rehoboam spirit in us. In Jesus' name, you would deliver us to righteousness, to humility, God, to wisdom. Father, we love you. God, we ask that you would just fill this place as you filled the temple in the Old Testament. God, you'd fill our temples with your spirit right now. Give us fresh minds and eyes to see and hear, God, and to know what your will is for us, God. We pray you'd open the eyes of our understanding in Jesus' name. And all those who believe it say, amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Young men and women of the Most High God, here's the deal. Here is the deal. You're in a season of your life that is a season of testing and a season of opportunity. You're in a season, the season of your life, the season of opportunity and the season of testing. All of us, when we start young, we all start young, unless we're Benjamin Button, right? Glory to God. Okay, stop it. Glory to God. We all start young, and it's a season of firsts. Everything's new. First time I ever rode my bike. First time I ever drove my car. Right? First time I went to school. First time I used a ruler. First time I ever used an eraser. How many of you guys remember the first time you used an eraser? I remember the first time I ate an eraser. It's easier going in than coming out, glory to God. Dude, he said that on me. It was that guy in the front row. Yeah, the season of firsts. Everything's just the land of opportunity. But it's also the season of testing in your life. Listen, it's the testing of your character. It's the testing of your worth, of your value, of who you're going to be. What are you going to accomplish? What are you made of? What are you made of? You know, I can remember so many times in my earlier days as a youth, and I can remember being on job sites. This one time I was on this job site, and I was 14 years old. I was just barely old enough to work. I was working 14-hour days, tying cable on the dock. We're hauling big, super heavy chain all around, taking this electrical tape and duct tape and chaining it all together for the seismic cable. They were doing testing out in the inlet. And I'm working with these old, crusty hands, man. These crusty corn dogs. They were terrible. Terrible. I mean, as racist of a group of people you've ever met. I don't know how these people are even exist. They're so ignorant. It was amazing. It was unbelievable. So I'm 14. I remember going out there, and even at that age, I was a pretty hard worker. You know, I knew how to work. My daddy taught me good, right? So I'm out there, and we're cranking it. And I'm telling you, every man on that job site, you know what he was doing? Testing me. They wanted to see what I was made of. They wanted to see what I was really made of. They'd give me the hardest jobs, right? They'd say the worst, nastiest, dirtiest, terrible things to me and about other people, and they're testing me. And I tell you what, it broke me. Totally broke me. I ended up just quitting the job because it was just too, I was like 14. But you know, I remember going home, and they pushed me beyond my edge, beyond my limit. And I went home, and I was crying to my mama. And she's like, son, you just got to suck it up. I'm like, but mama. She's all like, suck it up. It's a season of testing. See what you're really, really made of. You know, I spent a lot of years in fish sites and in the oil field, and in many years, probably about 8 years of my life doing all that kind of stuff. And that's all it's about. The first time in your youth, it's about testing who you're really going to be. Rehoboam is in the middle of a great opportunity and a great test. Every opportunity has a test. Come on. Every opportunity, it begins with a test. You got to know that. And it's going to have a major test in it. How are you really going to live? What are you really made of? Rehoboam becomes king in his youth. His grandfather, David, the greatest king of all time, his father, Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, they built, they fortified and fashioned the kingdom of Israel. God used them to do that. They galvanized it. Solomon made it absolutely phenomenal. And Rehoboam steps in the scene and has this huge, amazing opportunity, and he comes to a fork in the road. He comes to a dividing point, a testing point. Who is he going to be? How is he going to operate? We see Rehoboam make a very unwise choice, right? In this fork in the road. I'm just asking you today, men and women, in your youth, with your opportunity, what are you going to choose? What direction are you going to choose? Which path? The path of righteousness and humility and obedience and honor and submission and wisdom, or the path of foolishness, of arrogance, stubbornness, knuckleheadedness. Right? What one are you going to choose? Here's your great opportunity. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So, you know, we see Rehoboam do something that I think is very, very smart. He almost, you think he's going to set this thing up just right. He goes, look, this is a big decision. I'm not going to make it right now. You guys go away. Give me a little time to think, meditate, pray, get some wise counsel. Right? So you think he's going to do the right thing. You almost think, okay, right, yes, yes. But then what does he do? He goes and he seeks counsel. And he seeks counsel from the elders. Then he seeks counsel from the youth. He seeks it from his peers. Both of these things are a wise thing to do. But the way he accepts, that what he decides to do with the information he gets is so crucial. So I'm asking you this. To whom do you go and find counsel when you make decisions? When you're in the midst of your testing, of your opportunity, to whom do you go to? And are your ears open? Is your heart open? Do you really want to do what is right? Or do you just want to look important, feel important? Or do you want to please your peers? See, we live in a very weird culture, guys. American culture is bizarro land. It's like, good morning. You just signed up for bizarro land. How are you today? You wake up, and when you're young, from the time you're six, we ship each other off. We ship our little young little lambs off to some gigantic city where they only spend time with people their own age for years and years and years. And then we tell them, when you finally get into the real world, after you're done with all your training in the fantasy world, because, you know, we're really preparing you in the fantasy world for the real world, even though the fantasy world isn't really real. Makes total sense. It's the kind of logic I really want to live on every day of my life. Probably going to work. Maybe not. How many of you guys have heard that? Wait till you get in the real world. Then you'll really figure it out. Like, what am I doing right now? Am I not real? What's wrong? You're like pinching yourself all the time. Wake up, you know. It's so stupid. It's just so dumb. But the reality is you go live in this peer land that doesn't exist anywhere else in the whole world. When you go to your job, you don't go only work with 21-year-olds.
Well, we don't hire anybody that's over 21 or really even under 21. So you don't qualify. Sorry.
So we have like the shoe factory. I'm stuck on shoes today. That's all 21-year-olds. Then we have, you know, the fork factory that's all 30-year-olds. Only 30, not 31 or 29. Where is this work? So what happens is you have 60, 100, 200, maybe 1,000. I don't know. There's crazy numbers about all the people that are just in your class. You're all the same age. And whatever they value becomes the pressure for you to value. So whatever they make up, well, you know, dressing like, you know, my pants are made for a size, you know, 6'9 guy who weighs 475 pounds. And he's, you know, that's what makes you cool these days. You know what I mean? And that's what's important. And, you know, slamming your buddies and talking bad about them and whoever can, you know, tear the other person down the best. Oh, yeah, that makes the coolest person. Oh, let me tell you, that's really going to get you far in life, by the way. Yeah, that kind of thing is really going to help you succeed. And, you know, if you got big, huge, baggy pants, you're probably going to be really fast when somebody's chasing you. You're probably getting away. In fact, you're the kind of guy I want to go bear hunting with. Because I know I'm not getting eaten. And your saggy drawers are the one that are going to be laying back there with nobody in them. What is it? Now we're starting to go really tight saggy pants. Because that makes even more sense. I don't really have a butt. I just pretend like I have one. It's really just dead airspace. So weird. Just walking around like this. What's up? Woo! Try to move and like, try to go fast. It's just like, man, eat some fiber. Eat some fiber. What is wrong? That's what's important. That's what happens when we leave people of the same age to themselves to create whatever they want. It's craziness. It's insanity. And the Bible calls it foolishness. How many of you guys want to be a fool? You want to be a fool? Come on! Oh, but why do you keep acting like you want to be a fool? No takers? Why do we do it? Fork in the road, a test in your life. Who are you going to be? You're going to allow the Lord to galvanize your character in righteousness and what is right and open your eyes and your ears and your understanding to hear what the Lord is saying to you. That look, you need to slay this Rehoboam spirit and not reject the voice of the elders, those that are older than you in your life, and turn away from their wisdom and listen to just your peers. It's foolish. Listen, I'm telling you, if you go to high schools and I don't Christian schools, it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're just with peers, yes, it's not real world stuff. You're not learning social skills that are going to be valuable for you in the future. You're not. You need to understand that. If you're really embedding yourself with those values and those skills, you're going to end up like Rehoboam. You're going to process like he does. When he goes, you know what? I'm really concerned about what my peers think of me. I want to please them. And I'm afraid that with this great opportunity, people are going to think that I'm not strong. People are going to think that I am not, you know, as strong as my fathers or don't have as much potential as my fathers that went before me. And then I'm going to mess this thing up. And you know what? I'm going to listen to my peers and I want to please them now in the moment. And I don't care about honoring my elders and those that have gone before me or serving the people. Say, serve the people today. Like, no. I'm going to serve myself. See, the Rehoboam spirit serves yourself. It's a self-serving spirit about preserving yourself, preserving your position amongst your peers. Come on, guys. Listen. It's a great opportunity. Don't miss it. Listen. Your life, virtually all of your life is in front of you. It's the first stages of your adulthood, of your season of first, where you can really make an eternal impact. You can really begin your life towards fruitfulness in the kingdom. This is your opportunity. What is most important to you? Who do you desire to please? Your peers or your God? Your peers or your God? You have to decide. No one can force you to decide on this. But if you position yourself in a way that your ears aren't open to listen to those that have gone before you, you're going to fall. I'm just going to read a couple scriptures to you. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool seems right to him, but the wise man listens to advice." The way of the fool seems right. How many times you think even Rehoboam goes, "That seems right. My little finger is going to be fat. That seems really right." We think about that and goes, "That's stupid." Think, yeah, fat finger. People dig that. That's cool. Fat pants. That's cool. Right? It's cool. When I was in high school, you know what was cool? Pacifiers. No joke. Rap stars started eating pacifiers, like sucking on pacifiers. Yo, what's up, dog? So we wear, I mean, I never did this. Glory to God. I can say I never did it. But my friends would do it. They'd wear bib overalls, like short bib overalls, you know, like, yo, what's up? New kids on the block, in the house. And then they would suck on pacifiers. That's way cool. The way of a fool seems right, but the wise man listens to advice, right? Right? If you position yourself, there's all kinds of things that we do in our life, church, that position us for what I call closure. It keeps people from speaking into our lives and us having the opportunity to listen to those that have gone before us and to really heed their wisdom and apply it to our life. Amen? These are words that I just never want to hear. And if these come out of my own children, man, I just want to beat them. Or like, you know, discipline them properly. When my kids say, they position themselves for closer. Oh, I know. You start saying, oh, well, let me teach you this. Even if they've heard it 100 times, they're not. You start going into your little thing you're going to play over and over again. You do this when you get to be a dad. It's so weird. You hear yourself doing it, and you're like, I sound just like my dad. I've said this to my son like 20 times. And he just goes, oh, I know. It's like, I'm about to get crazy up in this place. Get my pacifier out. I don't know why that's scary. That's not really scary to have a pacifier, is it? Oh, but only in Nikiski. That's right. It's only scary there. Oh, I know. Oh, but no. Oh, you know, Dad, I know. It's just, I know. Well, hey, let me just tell, I know. I got it. I know. You know what that communicates? So stupid. It just tells people, you know what? I know. I'm a fool. I'm good. I'm a fool. I know. You know, I worked in the oil field. You know what they used to do to guys like that? They just get them. They'd be like, these know-it-alls, these guys that just had something to really prove in their youth. They go, hey, nobody has ever been able to climb a piece of drill pipe. I'm talking drilling rig. I mean, rigging everywhere. Piece of drill pipe going down into an oil well. Right? Nobody can climb that. Like, I can do it. No, dude, don't even try. Nobody can do it. And they start going, they're like, yes. He starts climbing. He's got something to prove. He gets up like 10 feet. And then they take this stuff they call pipe dope, and they just cover the pipe with it. It's just nasty, dirty, greasy, disgusting stuff. And they cover the whole pipe with it, and he's stuck like 10 feet up. The only way down is to just get totally greased and fall down on his biscuits, right? The other thing they do is they tell him to get these big bags of drilling mud. Nobody can pick one of those up and hold it over their head. Nobody. Yes, I can! And they just cut it right open on top of him. Just covered with oil-based drill mud. Disgusting. Now listen to me, I'm going to make a point here, is that all of us in our youth, we want people to think we're smart. We want people to think we can do it. We want people to think we know, that we got it figured out. Because we think that that us being smart and having lots of knowledge and understanding, right? And that we're strong and capable makes people respect us. We think that knowing lots of stuff will make people think we're valuable or take us seriously or not despise us in our youth, but we're wrong. You knowing stuff in your youth doesn't make people think you're great. You being a know-it-all, or even if you are really smart and you're a brainiac, whatever, it doesn't matter. You letting people know all that stuff gives you zero credibility with people. None. You got to really hear me right now. It gives you nothing. But you know what does? You know what gives you real credibility with people? Is being a listener. You know what gives you real credibility? Is being a man or a woman of tremendous wisdom. Not being a know-it-all. So let me just break this down just for a second. Right? Let me break it down. That's how we used to do it old school. I used to rap over the chalupas in the lunch line. You're so lucky you didn't get chalupas when I was serving. You spitting all over them, rapping up amongst your food. It's disgusting. Let's check it out. Your life. If you seriously want people to respect you, people to get you, to receive you, to embrace you, you have to understand the fundamental difference between wisdom and knowledge. I got to break this down for you. Knowledge, right, is just knowing what is true. All of you guys can know tons of stuff. And I believe it. I respect that about you. It's awesome. But wisdom is applying that truth, what you know, to your life. This is a fundamental difference between wisdom and knowledge and wisdom and foolishness. The fool and the wise person have the same thing in common, the truth. They both understand the truth. It's what you do with it. That's what makes the difference. You have to learn to apply that truth to your life. You can't just be a person who knows stuff. And nobody who's older than you really cares about what you know. They don't. I just want to clue you in. But what they do care about is who you can be. They really care about who you can be. And they really care about making a difference in your life. The greatest, one of the greatest assets you have is your youth. This is one of the greatest assets I have. I'm probably the youngest youth or senior pastor in our city. I'm sure that there isn't very many. There is my age, 31. It's one of my greatest assets. It's one of your greatest assets. Because you know what? People can see you have all kinds of time to make a difference. They see you have all kinds of time to change the world. You're the future. You are the hope. Man, we want to see the glory of God revealed inside of you. I'm telling you, the whole creation groans to see the glory of God come out of the sons of God, the sons and daughters of God. Right. Wants to see it awaken and alive. And you have all of your life ahead of you. And you are the generation that all the other generations that are alive right now want to invest in. But they don't care about what you know. They want to impart into you in this season of your life so that you can get started out and not move like Rehoboam moved, not make decisions like he made decisions. And you know what? It doesn't matter if someone tells you something you already know. They don't care if you know it or not. All they want to know is, are you a listener? If you're a listener, guess what? They're going to tell you more stuff. So what if the first thing they tell you, you already know? I know. Don't say it. Just say, Yeah. Slay that Rehoboam spirit. Just kill it. Don't let it live. Position yourself for growth. Listen, if everybody who's older than you in your life thinks that you are a man or a woman of tremendous wisdom and character, and openness and honesty, and that you're a good listener, they see the potential in your life and they know you're good soil and you're worth investing in, and they'll do it. You'll have job opportunities because people want to invest in you. People will stop and give you nuggets of wisdom. When you have a need, they'll be there to listen and to help you walk through that need. You'll have someone to give you wise counsel. But if you close yourself off with foolishness and arrogance in your youth, you will waste your youth. You will miss it. Romans 8. Oh. Romans 8, I just tore my Bible. Verse 13, in the name of Jesus. Romans 8:13. For if you live according to your flesh, you will die. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Listen, your faith, as it says in James 2:26, that your faith without works is dead. And the body without the Spirit is dead. Listen, the Spirit of God is what makes you alive. It's what empowers you into righteousness, which is right standing before God. It's what empowers you to live according to what God has destined you for. He has shaped you for something specific, something glorious, something awesome. He's calling you to do it. He's not calling anybody else to do it. He's calling your generation to do it and no other generation to do it. And you've got to rise up. You have got to, by the Spirit of God, slay the spirit of the flesh. You have got to allow the Spirit of God to destroy this rebellious Rehoboam spirit in our generation. If it lives, we die. So the Bible says, if the body, the flesh, the sinful desires live, then we die. We perish. We don't maybe not physically just die. You might still go to heaven. But listen, the vision and the sanctification of your soul, all right? And the specific calling that God has for you, the destiny that He shaped you for, can be missed. It can be dead. You don't want to miss it, church. Come on. There is something awesome for you to do. But look, you've got to allow that thing to die. And you know what? Tonight, we need to slay that thing. We need to see it disappear. We don't want to see it in our generation anymore. So if we have the worship team come. We have a worship team here. It'd be great. I just want to challenge you, church, tonight. That you'd search your heart. Where have you been hardened in your heart? Where have you allowed this Rehoboam spirit, this I know it all spirit, I need to have a position for myself spirit, I need to try to prove to people that I'm right, that I'm good, that I'm smart, that I know? Where have you allowed that to rule your life? Is that what's driving you right now? Is to please your peers? Or is it to be right before the King of Kings, the Creator of the heavens and the earth? Come on, you need to search your heart. You need to seek the Lord today, right now. And you know what? I'm just believing that God's going to break something off tonight. That if you want to be set free from the enemy, from his hand in your life, from the spirit, that God can just deliver you. He can just totally and completely, by the power of His Holy Spirit, destroy this thing in your life. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, honor your father and mother and it will go well with you in the land. Man, we need to learn to honor our parents. We need to learn to honor those that are in authority over us. We do that, we're blessed. God begins to minister to you. He'll begin to invest in your life and you'll grow and you'll maximize your growth potential in the Lord. You'll see huge breakthrough. You'll see God do amazing things to your life that you never thought was possible. Why don't you stand with me? I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to believe God that He's going to set some people free tonight. In fact, I believe that every single one of us has some place in our heart that needs to be given over to the Lord, where we've allowed this Rehoboam spirit to overtake us. So Lord Jesus, we ask that you would just break through tonight. You would minister. God, you would just pour out your spirit. God, don't let the enemy right now, God, rob anything. Lord, we come against him in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask for deliverance for your people. God, that this generation would be a unique and special generation set aside for you. God, break this thing over us. Break it in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, we cry out to you. We ask you for deliverance, Lord. Hallelujah. God, I'm thanking you for the breakthrough that's going to happen tonight in these young people. Lord, I believe there's nothing more important than being set free, than knowing you. So God, I pray tonight that you would just give these young people courage to step out, courage to stand even before their peers and say, you know what? I've been broken, but I want to be right before you, Lord. I care more about what you think than anybody else. I want to see your glory. I want to see what you have for me. I want the fullest of what you have for me. I want to walk in life, in truth, and in wisdom, and in the fullness of your blessing. If that's you tonight, I just want to encourage you to meet me down here in the front. I want to pray with you. You want to see breakthrough in your life. You're tired of the old way you've been living. You're ready to break off this rebellion in your life. You want to see breakthrough. You want to see breakthrough. That's why you meet me down here, and I just want to pray for you. You need to make a stand. It's important that you make a stand. Amen. Come on. Don't be embarrassed. You got to be bold. You have to be bold. Even the littlest seed, come on, church, even the littlest thing, you know, in your heart of hearts, you've just been knowing it all and you're missing opportunities. You don't need to miss opportunities anymore. God can deliver you. He can set you free. Anybody else? You want prayer? There you go, brother. You just want to see that pride die? You want to see it die. This pride has been ruling your life, and you know that pride is holding you back and you're missing your opportunities before God. Hallelujah. You've been rejecting the wisdom and the of your elders, of your parents. You've been telling them, oh, I know, Mom, I know, Dad. You're dishonoring them and you're ready to just repent. You've been telling your pastors or your leaders or whoever, oh, I know, I got it figured out. You're just missing it. And you know it. Hey, look, if your heart's beating a little bit fast, it's you. You know it. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. All right. So I'm just going to encourage you young people right now. If you're up here and you want deliverance, you want freedom, just go ahead and lift your hands up. And just, you know what? It's just a spiritual act. You really need to lift your hearts up. Okay? You need to focus your hearts on the King of Kings. He's your deliverer. And look, even if you didn't step forward, I want to encourage you right now where you're at. You just get your heart centered on the Lord. And God will deliver you tonight. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father God. Hallelujah. We seek your counsel, Lord. We need you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Father. So I just want to encourage you just to pray out loud with me. I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive me, God, for my rebellion, for my arrogance, for my pride, God, for dishonoring you while I dishonored the authorities over me. Forgive me for rejecting wisdom. God, I just repent. God, break any power the enemy's had over me because of this sin, because of this rebellion.
this command, the spirit of rebellion to go. Leave me forever. Spirit of pride, go. Come on, church, you got to pray out loud. Spirit of pride, go.
Spirit of pride, go.
In the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Deliver me, God. Set me free. Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Just fill me with humility. Fill me with righteousness. Your righteousness, Lord Jesus. God, give me wisdom. Understanding. Your favor. God, let me be quick to listen. Slow to speak. Slow to become angry. God, let my life be full of humility. Reveal to me your truth, God. Speak to me, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And I just encourage you, if there's anything specific on your heart right now, you need to repent to the Lord. I'm just going to worship right now. But as we worship, if there's something specific for you to repent for, you need to do it. No one else can do it. If God lays it on your heart, you just even think about it, you just make it right. You make it right.